today which the Lord has made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. It's important that we remember that every day when we wake up. I'm trying to look and see if we have visitors with us. If you're visiting, we welcome you to Prayer Faith World Outreach today. If you would, turn your Bibles to Jeremiah today. Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah, we're going to do a little study of some things from the past. We're going to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. As you're turning to Jeremiah chapter 29, I was listening to Tony Robbins, depending on which event you've maybe seen him at, which movie you've watched him in. He's a guy with the big head and the big teeth, he says. That's his words, not mine. Tony Robbins hates being called a motivational speaker. He says, I'm a coach and I do these different things. And he talked about a golf swing that he had. And he just couldn't quite get it right. And he had a golf coach. And he said he kept hitting it in the water. And when he'd swing, he'd hit it left and he'd hit it right. But he couldn't ever get it to go where he wants. And the coach said, oh, I haven't taught you this special technique. He said, well, you're a horrible coach. You know, why'd you let me do this? And he said, I want to let you do this thing so you can understand when I show you the change, the power that that small change has. And that's what I want to talk about today. Today's message is entitled, What Difference Will You Choose to Make? What difference will you choose to make? And Dr. Johnson was here last week and he talked about the person that said, I need you to pray, you need to do this. And he said, you have to choose. And so this kind of, along with that, as Christians, we have a choice. We have a choice in what we do. And so Tony Robbins was talking about this. And those of you that golf or pretend to golf like I do, I go out there and I just like having a good time. And I haven't ever invested in lessons. I've listened to probably three different people tell me maybe how to get a better shot. That was very awkward to some of the hints they gave me, and I won't go into those details, but man, what a weird thing that was. But Tony Robbins said, his coach said, as you swing, look at the angle of your club. Sometimes you're hitting just a millimeter or two too high or too low. Now, Reverend Ferguson and I have golfed on different occasions, and he can attest to the fact that I'm a lot high and a lot low, and I'm way off from where Tony Robbins might have been. I can't, you know, I hit the ball, and I'm the guy going around, where'd it go, where'd it go? And it drops 3 feet in front of you after taking a sky visit for 50 minutes, you know, and then it drops down 3 feet in front of you. And his coach said, if you just turn your club a little bit this way or that way, that makes all the difference in the world where that ball's going to land. If you lift it just a millimeter or two higher or lower it a millimeter or two, it makes all the difference in the contact you're making. Great, Adam. Thank you for teaching us about golf today. My point is today, some of us are off just by a hair. We've lost our hope. We've lost our joy. We've lost our energy. We've lost our drive, our commitment. We're there going through the motions. It could be in our marriage. It could be in our church. It could be in our job. It could be in our school. Young people, my gosh, how do I stay motivated to study these subjects that I hate? Adjust your focus by this much to find the good in that. And so when we lost those things, usually what do? We give up. When our focus is off, we think, I can't do this. I don't give up on golf and I just continue on stinking at it. But there's other things that I can't afford to do that in. There's other aspects of life that I can't afford to just say, ah, it's okay. Golf to me is a hobby, so I don't want to be good at it. I just enjoy getting out there swinging a club, and if I hit a ball, great. If I don't, I don't really care. It's kind of like bowling. I'll roll a ball down the lane. If it hits the gutter, great. I've landed it in the gutter. If it hits 10 pins, even better. If I hit a pin, great. And if I barely hit one pin, that's even more entertaining. So those are just hobbies. But in life, in our Christian walk, we can't afford to lose that focus. So why is it, as Christians, we're usually one of the first groups to give up on those things? We are. I can't do it. It can't be done. I've tried this. They've tried it. So-and-so tried it. They told me I can't do it. We've talked about this before. Did your parents tell you you couldn't do it, so therefore, in your mind, you couldn't do it? But you've got to understand, and you've got to pick this thing up and read it and learn it. Get to living this thing. We said a couple weeks ago that the Word is living, and it is powerful, and it is power. And we have to understand this, because this can supersede what your parents told you. Young people, be careful. I'm just saying, when they say clean your room, you got to do that still. But what I'm saying is, when your parents say you can't do that, this tells you otherwise. If you seek Him and seek His will in doing those things. Our graduates, there's a whole world out there waiting for you. And you can do those things. So why again do Christians give up? We have the promise of joy. We have the promise of hope. We have so many promises in His Word. He will give us rest. He will give us energy. He will renew our energies when we are weary. I heard about someone that was sick recently and on their deathbed. And the relatives were saying, when he passed away, I hope he's in a better place. You ever hear someone say that? I hope they're in a better place. As Christians, we know they are in a better place. Amen? We know that. We have to know that. He is our hope. He is our energy. He is our joy. But we give up on these things. We seem to be the group as Christians that gives up quickest and easiest. And we'll get to Jeremiah 29. Just give me a minute. Bear with me, please. But sometimes as Christians, we talked in our Bible study last Wednesday night. Do we go seek it, or do some of us sit and say, God will provide, I will sit here and wait. And we wait for Him to drop that thing in our lap, that better job, that better paying job, that newer car, that better car, that better spouse, that better boyfriend, that better girlfriend. Please, God, drop them in my lap, or magically alter them to when I come home tomorrow, it's someone different. Oh, same person, but they are different. You can nudge, elbow, whoever you want. That's okay. But we think, it didn't fall in my lap, so the Lord must not want me to have it. Well, if God wanted me to have it, He would have given it to me by now, because I asked and said, God, send me a sign if you want me to have it. And I didn't see any crazy signs. You ever watch people run into work zones? I didn't see the signs. We're the same way. And we're going to have some terrible accidents because we didn't see the sign, because we weren't looking, we weren't focused. Our focus was here, but it needed to be here, just a notch over. And we lost focus. God's sitting back saying, well, once again, I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you to step up to the plate. I've given you the opportunity, but I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting for you to press on. You see, I've given you this roadblock to see if you can get past it. Remove the stumbling block from your brother's path. Well, who put that stumbling block there? God may have just slid that over a little bit to see, number one, if you're going to help remove that stumbling block. Or as a Christian, will you remove your own stumbling block and quit putting it in front of you? And then sometimes you may have to take that stumbling block, use it as a step, step up and over, and get beyond. How are we going to do that? The it word. We rationalize things in our mind. People that don't believe in Jesus Christ do this a lot. If it's going to work, it must prove itself to me that there is potential in it. When we buy things, when we're walking through the fair and everybody wants to show us all their new gadgets and their new cookware and their new cleaning cloth and their new Zappo-Dappo this or that, what do we say? You've got to prove to me that it will work and it has potential. And we do the same thing with Jesus Christ. We try and teach our young people over the years. Man, it's not a magic lamp that you hold and rub and say, God, I did what I want. Now come and save me. Come and help me. God, I was saved, so I know I'm going to heaven. But I just did what I want. Now I want you to come clean up the mess and fix the mess. It, if it's going to work, it must prove itself to me and prove that there's potential in it. And people do that with God, the same thing. If God is going to work, God must prove Himself to me that He is going to work. And when I prayed for so-and-so or such-and-such and it didn't come to pass, there can't be a God. I prayed for a brand new Corvette and I have this beater of a car, 1974 Toyota something or other. The windows don't work. The AC doesn't work. Heater's blowing full blast. That's great in the summertime. But I asked God for something better and He didn't provide. Therefore, He must not exist. Man. That's not our faith as Christians. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 4. And by the way, today, if you're off by just a hair, we need to turn our focus, our eyes, our mind, our heart sometimes is pointed in just the wrong direction to receive and therefore to show and give. Today, for some of you, there may be one thing you have to choose to give up. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 4 says, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, so that they can bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased. But listen to what it says. Increased where? It says be increased there. God wants to give them the increase where they are. They're in captivity. They're not where they want to be. And the Lord says, man, I will take you and multiply you there, that you may be increased there. We have to find the increase and the blessing where we are. It says that you may be increased there and not diminished. We can't let our defeats diminish us. Verse 7, boy, this is going to be a tough one for some of us. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive. That's tough enough in itself. Seek the peace. But then it goes on to say, and pray to the Lord for it. That place where you are that you don't want to be, find peace there and pray over it. And pray to the Lord for it. For in its peace, you will have peace. We don't have peace because we're not where we want to be. But the sooner you pray over it and find peace in it, you will have peace there. God says, I don't want you to have unrest where you are. Where we, His people, we that have called on Him and believe in Him, are, we're to carry peace with us. We're to carry love with us. For in its peace you will have peace. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. Be careful for those people that are doing things in the name of Jesus and find out if He sent them or not. Don't ask those people, though. Ask the Lord, because they're going to say, yeah. And the Lord doesn't send everybody that comes speaking in the name of the Lord. Verse 10. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed in Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good work toward you and cause you to return to this place. What's he telling them? He's saying, guys, I'm sorry, I'm going to leave you there for 70 years. By the way, continue multiplying, continue praying, continue finding peace there. For after 70 years, then I will visit you. Then, after 70 years. We thought 40 was a long time to be wandering in the wilderness. 70 years of captivity, being where you don't want to be. I will visit you and then perform my good work toward you and cause you to return to this place. We read this a lot of times to graduates, if you are young people. Verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray. He has given us a hope. But listen carefully what he says about that. I will give you hope. A future and a hope. And then in verse 12, and then you will call upon me. And what else? And go and pray. To whom? To me. Then what is his promise? And I will listen. And you will seek me and find me. So when we seek him, he says, you're going to find me. When you search for me with what? With part of your heart. Of course not. He says, when you seek me with all of your heart, then I will be found by you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you to the place from which I cause you to be carried away captive. Are you seeing what he's doing? He has caused us, and we've talked about this before. I don't want you to think, Adam's covered this. Does he not know he's covered this before? I have covered this before. He has caused us to be carried away. He has caused us to be places that we don't want to be. And he has caused us to be captive in some of these areas that we don't want to be in. We may feel captive in our job, in our schooling, in our relationships, in our health. God, you've caused me to be captive in this health for all these years. Why would you do this, God? We also have the promise of healing, don't we? And it may not be, by the way, where those around us can see that healing here. It may just be on that other side. But sometimes it is here where we can see that healing. But this portion of Scripture tells us God has allowed these things to happen. He has put us in those places. And he says, after a certain amount of time, when you've done these things, when you've prayed to me and prayed for others and prayed for where you are, when you have found peace there, then I will come and do my good works. I've told many of you, and those of you that don't know, I lost my job a few years back, and I went to work at Brahms Ice Cream. Mr. Brahms, if you listen to this, I apologize, but I hated that job. I loved it when I got it. Why? It was a job. Thank you, Lord, for giving me this job. Okay, so you're teaching me and this 14-year-old part-timer how to scoop ice cream. This is fantastic. I'm nearly 50. Thank you, Lord. But I'm telling you the truth. Every day and throughout the day, I'd go into that cooler, and guess what I'd do? I'd stock the milk. And I don't know why, but that was a place for God and I to talk. And I would tell God, God, I'm thankful for this job, but please do not let this be where I am the rest of my life. But if it is, God, help me to embrace it. But God, you know I don't want this job and this isn't for me, but I'm thankful for it every day. Throughout the day, every time I went in and flinging those gallons of milk in there, God, I'm thankful for this, but please get me out of here. And in due time, he did. But we have to, what's the old saying sometimes we've heard? I think Kenny Martin said that one time, grow where you're planted. Many years ago when he came and spoke to this congregation, he said, grow where you are planted. That doesn't mean God isn't going to take you right now in a small plant and put you in a pot, then take you in a bigger one and put you somewhere else. So he may still move you, but grow where you are planted. We're going to talk about that in just a minute here. But I find this fascinating. God says, man, I'm the one that put you in this place. But by the way, don't try and deliver yourself from this place. We talked about that also on Wednesday night. We always try and fix things. Give God a little helping hand. Because he's really busy. And he's obviously like our doctor. He's running behind schedule. So we have to sit and wait, so we want to help him out. Could you imagine in the doctor's office, helping the doctor out by doing your own diagnosis? It's the same thing here. He says, just sit where you are and I will do my good works in my time. <laughs> 70 years of captivity. Compare this to your present situation. Some of you young people are going, 70? Whew! 70 years of captivity. Will you let disappointment destroy you or drive you? That's what we have to determine. That millimeter focus. Will that disappointment disappoint us, or will it drive us to improve our game? How many of you here today want to have a better life, have a more spiritual life, a more biblical life? Raise your hand if that's you. I shouldn't have done this, but go ahead and put your hands down. Do not raise your hands on this. How many of you that raise your hand do not have a Bible on you today? Don't raise your hands. And don't point people out. Okay? But we do that. We come here today wanting more. Good grief. We want more, but we didn't bring this. We didn't bring it. You want to be a better shot at the gun range? What do you take with you? Take your gun and some ammo. You want to be better at the golf course? What do you take with you? Not Adam or Eric. You take your clubs with you. You musicians, you want to be better on an instrument. What do you got to practice with? Your instrument. You take those with you. Guys, this isn't to embarrass anyone or point anyone out. This is to say, look at our focus. We're having state of the church today. It'll be brief and short, by the way, if you're going, oh, I forgot to call in sick today to church. It's going to be brief. We're just giving you information so that you have it on what the church has done, where we are, and what our goals and plans are. We haven't done it in a year and a half, and it's time to update you guys with where we are. It'll be very brief, but we're going to talk about that. And one of the goals, of course, is for our church to grow. We can't grow if we don't get into this thing, learn this thing, and know it, so we can share it with other people. You got to bring your gun to the range. You got to take your clubs to the courts. You've got to bring your instrument to the practice. But we can't sit here week after week, year after year, and say, God, change me. God, remove me from this situation. By the way, I'm belly aching the entire time, God. I don't bring my tools with me, God. I got to tell you, Reverend Ferguson did his message on being a fan. I heard an ouch. Ouch indeed. And it's the same thing. But guys, let me tell you, it's important to know that. And it's important to understand that you can't change without someone pointing these things out. You can't change without someone saying, you can't get better at Scripture when you've never opened the Bible and you're just trying to hear it. I listen to TV pastors. I listen on the radio. I listen to Sunday mornings at Prayer of Faith. Fantastic. But that isn't going to grow you. Some people said, man, that was kind of a hard-hitting message. I said, oh, thank God. Yes, it was. It's got to motivate us to be different, or we can be in the same place. But we can't sit here and say, God, what are you going to do for me? I've done nothing for you other than show up. That giving thing, uh-oh, here he goes. God, I've showed up. I didn't give. Some of you guys, let me tell you, you are driving your tithe. Some of you are wearing your tithe, and I've said this before. Some of you guys are living in your tithe. Some of you guys are drinking and smoking your tithe. Some of you guys are gambling your tithe. I hear some groans. I haven't heard any amens yet. Some of you guys are just blowing your tithe on whatever. Some of you guys have hobbies that eat up your tithe. But I told you 2 years ago, you guys don't need me, but I need you. And this church needs you. And by the way, this town needs you. And this city and state and this country and this world needs you. Because we need you to understand the Word of God and take that out to other people. Take that to our young people so that they can take it to others. There are young people in our schools literally dying without knowing anything about Jesus Christ. There's people in our workplaces dying without knowing anything about Jesus Christ and the hope and the salvation and the joy that He promises in Him. That doesn't mean life is magically better and you'll be living in a mansion next year, driving the nicest vehicles. But it means your focus will be different on what you're doing and how you are treating other people. You know, we need servants in this church. We have two, what we call conference ministerial candidates in the Free Methodist organization that were just accepted. Amen. Adonijah Price and Andrew Bellflower. And this is an exciting process for these two young men. And I sit on the board that interviews and approves them. They wouldn't let me interview my own guys, of course. But I'm in the conversation, and those meetings are always confidential. But I can tell you this, that's very obvious to those in this church and others, that there's two of the best servants in this church that are conference ministerial candidates. And that was obvious to those people as well, just in talking to them in their hearts. And we need servants. Flip over to Hebrews chapter 5, if you would. And before I read Hebrews chapter 5, I read a couple weeks ago out of Hebrews 4. And it was interesting that Dr. Johnson also mentioned the throne of grace. And I'll get to chapter 5 in just a minute. But Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." And I think sometimes we feel unworthy to approach that throne. And therefore we don't, and we stay broken, but not in a broken way that Jesus Christ wants to see us. Just broken, we're walking with a limp, but we don't ever want to get well because we're afraid to go to the doctor to heal. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. And again, this is things we're familiar with, we've read before. And it says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So why do we do this again? Well, we've been down this road again. And I read this to say, for though by this time, Prayer, Faith, World Outreach, we ought to be teachers. But some of us need someone to teach us again. But you see, we need teachers here at Prayer, Faith. We cannot grow as a church if we don't provide an atmosphere where our young people, our older people, our youngest people that are out right now have an opportunity to learn through Sunday school. We have teens showing up sometimes an hour before service and hanging out because there's no one to teach them. But they love this place enough to be here early and just be here. And I love that. We have teens teaching our young people. We do have some adults. We have teens teaching our young people. We have teens running the sound and computer on most weeks. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, and we need teachers at Prayer Faith. And I told somebody my vision is to have Sunday school class started back up. Well, who's going to teach it? And I simply said, they may not be at our church yet. I don't know. But God cannot grow this body until we step up to help one another and learn. And maybe you say, hey, I want to be a teacher, but I'm just not comfortable in that. We can help with resources. We can help you through that. But don't sit back and just watch year after year, generation after generation disappear. You see, I want us to be a fan. I want us to be a fan. I want season tickets. I want to get to the game early. I don't mind tailgating at all. Okay? I love that fellowship. But I want to be a fan. And I want to be all in. Let me close with this. Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 and 38 is a familiar verse as well. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." I want you to listen carefully, Prayer Faith. Because no person, or no organization is going to get better or can get better
until they, or we, or I,
admit something is wrong. So we cannot sit in our chairs week after week and go, I'm good. But we cannot get any better if we don't admit something is wrong. And we can't sit back and simply compare ourselves to other people so that we can look and feel better than we truly are. Amen? Well, so-and-so, they just come 50% of the time. I attend 75% of the time. I saw they just give a check once a month. I give a check every week. What you don't know is you get paid once a month, so they're doing that check. What's it going to take to get you started? Changing your focus by that 1 millimeter? Well, the professionals say probably when you're more afraid of what life will be like if you don't follow through with it. That's when you'll change. Then, when you reach that point and understand that, you won't settle for anything less. What difference will you choose to make today? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, today we spoke about different situations. Situations that you put us in. Situations that we put ourselves in. God, we talked about situations that we don't want to be in, but you told us. God, you told us how to get through those. You told us that you would do your good works in your time. You told us to seek peace and pray for those places and people that we don't want to be and the people we don't want to be around. And you said, for in its peace, you will have peace. God, you told us to seek you and call upon you. And when we do that, we will find you. But you added in that we have to do that with all our hearts. And God, today there's people sitting here that have hearts that still have some crust on it. Still have some stony areas. Some black areas. Some hidden areas. Some dark areas. But God, you tell us that you know everything. And nothing is hidden from you. And our motives are not even hidden from you. God, our motives of being known, being seen, being heard. Our motives of selfish pleasure. Our motives of laziness. God, we need you. And we need each other more today than ever. Today, as our heads are bowed and we pray, I just want to be silent in our prayer for a minute. Because we have choices to make today. Will we show up next week without a Bible? Will we show up when we're tired and don't feel like it because we're out late the night before? So as we pray in silence, Lord, help bring to our attention the things that we need to change, the things we need to focus on and adjust our focus. Let's just take that opportunity to pray right now. While we continue to pray, I'd like you to raise your hand if you need prayer for those areas that are maybe stony, just need prayer for strength and changing and adjusting and being different. If that's you today, as we pray, would you lift your hand? continue to lift those up, please. Thank you. You can put your hands down. God, I am touched today. I am touched by the beautiful sight of a praying church. God, I am moved by your power. As I said, it was a very touching thing to look out on the church and see you guys all praying. A few may be sleeping, but seriously, all praying. And that's a beautiful sight. And when we take the opportunity to be patient with those that are praying and that have needs, it's a wonderful thing. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this wonderful body of believers. God, I thank you for the Spirit moving. Lord, I thank you for your word that is living and that is powerful. Lord, I thank you for your word today to remind us that you put us in places and that you pull us out of those places as well in your timing. God, be with us this week as we go out. Guide our words towards one another, Lord, that they speak love and not hate. That they speak love and not anger. That they speak love and not resentment. God, be with us as we go out this week and guide our actions. That they are God-honoring, that they honor you, and they please you in everything that we do and everywhere we go. I ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.